There are really a couple of different key features of comparative advantage. It's a comparison between two different tasks, let's call them X and Y, and a comparison between one's own organization, CGIAR in the present case, and other organizations. So comparative advantage in a nutshell is that we want to ensure that two tasks, let's just call them X and Y, are both accomplished. We care less about who does them than that they're done and done well and in a timely fashion. And towards that end, the fundamental goal of comparative advantage analysis is really to answer a succession of three distinct questions. The first is there another organization or multiple organizations that have the capacity to work on X and or Y, to work on either of the two key tasks that need to be accomplished? Secondly, if CGIAR were to leave it up to this other organization to perform one of those tasks, let's call it Y, how much would that partner organization's progress on the other task, X, suffer? So we want to know not just the opportunity cost of our own work on one task versus another, but we want some sense of other organizations' opportunity costs of working on one task versus another as well. And then that leads naturally to the third question. Could the CGIAR more than compensate for the decline in progress and accomplishing task X by the other organization with the internal resources it frees up by not working as much on task Y? Again, we're pursuing shared impact goals. It's not a pure CGIAR task to reduce poverty, to increase productivity, to achieve climate solutions through agri-food systems. That's a shared commitment of lots of organizations. So we want to know how to deploy scarce CGIAR resources, dollars, as well as people, as well as relationships, to accomplish those best. And we need to assess what are the trade-offs between us doing it versus some other organization doing it. If the answer to the third question, could the CGIAR more than compensate for the reduced production of X by our partners if we freed up resources by not working on task Y? If the answer to that question is yes, then greater progress can be made on those shared goals by partnering with the outside organization. That's the fundamental purpose of comparative advantage analysis, is to figure out when we should go it alone and when we would collectively be better off by joining forces and specializing to some degree in the things we each do relatively best. In that sort of arrangement, each organization somewhat specializes in the task for which it has comparative advantage. There's not necessarily complete specialization. It's not to use zero out work in one area, but rather it's that one, the blend, the portfolio blend varies according to comparative advantage. The result is that CGIAR specializes in the production of, in this case, X, the thing that we in CGIAR do relatively well, and the other organization specializes somewhat in the production of the other task, Y. Even if CGIAR is actually better at producing both X and Y. And that is one of the most powerful pieces to understand about comparative advantage analysis. If one purely looks at the unidimensional productivity of an organization in generating particular outputs, then one can be misled into thinking that because we do each thing best, we should do it all. That's simply never true. There is always the potential for gains from collaboration, from gains from exchange, from working together and letting one side do something that it is relatively better at, even if it is absolutely worse at it. That's the essence of comparative advantage. Over to you, Josh.
In essence, using the tools of comparative advantage analysis is like taking a more expansive view of what good managers already do inside their own organizations. If you're the manager of an organization, of a series of teams, a series of divisions within your organization, you need to decide which team, which division is going to work on which task. And if you put a team or a division on a particular task, it's clear that they're not going to have the bandwidth to do other tasks, which then need to be allocated to other actors or other divisions or other teams within your organization, all towards the collective goals of the organization. What we're talking about in comparative advantage is applying those very same high-quality management tools over a broader purview to recognize that it's not just the teams and divisions within our own organization that can be performing activities, but there are other actors playing in the very same space for whom we might think about partnering. We might think about allowing them to perform said activities so that we can free up resources to perform other activities which we are comparatively or relatively better at.
Exactly, exactly. The main innovation of comparative advantage is that one takes good management practices, put the employee who might be best at everything, but is so much better at one thing than everybody else, you put them on that task primarily, and you have somebody else do the other tasks so as to free up time for your star in everything to focus on the thing in which she's absolutely best at. That's what good firms do, but an even better firm is not just doing that, but it's also paying attention to the outside ecosystem. And should we even be doing this task at all? You know, maybe we're really good at research. We can do accounting really well too, because everybody's highly numeric. But let's hire an accounting firm to take care of our accounting so that we can free up some people to spend on the other stuff we do. That's what good businesses are doing all the time. They're figuring out if there's some outside supplier that can better provide some function, even if they're absolutely better at it. They understand their own business and their own books better, but the time spent on having to do that can be so much more productively used in some other task in which they're uniquely well-suited. We're just suggesting that CGIAR use these best practices for management more generally.
So let's take a minute here to try to illustrate how gains from specialization occur. And what I want to do here is I want to remove ourselves from the CGIAR space and talk about a hypothetical example. And so what I want you to imagine here is a hypothetical nonprofit called Cure.org, which works to combat malaria. Imagine that Cure.org's program consists of two key components. They produce insecticide-treated bed nets, and they produce anti-malarial drugs. Cure.org produces both of these. They produce bed nets and doses of these anti-malarial drugs more efficiently than any other organization working in the malaria space. But they observe that another charity, Treat Free, also has the capacity to produce both nets and drugs. Treat Free does not produce drugs as efficiently as Cure.org, and it also has no or limited expertise in bed nets. It's costing them many more worker hours to produce their first nets, and their drug production has declined significantly in the process. So the key insight here is that Cure.org is better at producing both of those outputs, and Treat Free is inferior at producing both of those outputs. But once, so the temptation is to say, well, Cure.org should do it all and Treat Free should go take a holiday. But in fact, recognizing that both organizations have limited or a fixed pool of resources, they have limited amounts of money to spend on these investments. They have limited amount of talent, managerial talent, workers, folks in the field to go deliver those things. They have a limited pool of resources to produce those outputs. Once you recognize that those resources are limited, there are going to be benefits from specialization, or at least partly from specialization. Comparative advantage analysis shows us how to divide the production between bed nets and anti-malarial drugs across the two organizations such that they produce more bed nets and more drugs in aggregate, given their collective resources, than they would if we only asked Cure.org to specialize in both things simply because they were better atomistically in producing them than Treat Free.
Yeah, so Josh, that's a really good illustration. To back off to a slightly more general level, the broader message of that stylized example holds true in broader, more realistic settings. An organization like CGIAR has really strong capabilities in multiple areas. And in multiple areas, it's simply better that some other agricultural research for development organizations are. That will include some of the local, national, or regional organizations. But that does not mean that CGIAR should be attempting to do all tasks itself. It needs those partners. We can all be better off for those partnerships. It should partially specialize in the areas in which it has the greatest strengths and collaborate with these other organizations, even those that seem to have lesser capabilities in each area. To go back to your example, bed nets and malaria treatment drugs, it may be that there are things to learn about malaria treatment drugs by being involved in bed nets, that in the process of testing nets, one discovers new features of behaviors that can be used to tailor the drugs. So that feedback between the two is important. It may be that you need to maintain a little bit of each within the organization, but the core takeaway from your nice example is that one needs to include the others according to comparative advantage in order to expand the capacity of the entire system to produce both bed nets and drugs, or in the CGIAR case, to accomplish this rather expansive set of impact areas that it's trying to tackle to accomplish all the tasks that are involved. The focus here is deliberately on the deliverables. It's not on CGIAR, it's on the shared objectives that comparative advantage empowers CGIAR to make a greater relative contribution to faster progress on these shared objectives. It's not a statement about CGIAR's own capacity to do those particular tasks. It's a statement about CGIAR's commitment to these shared objectives, that it will recognize the capabilities of other organizations and yield a little bit of space there, because collectively we actually make faster and farther progress as a result.
So, Chris, I want to pick up on something you said there. I really like this point that one might learn from one activity across to another. So in your example, you might learn something about how to better design drugs from what you're learning in bed net production. So you may not want to purely specialize. I agree with that point completely. I also want to suggest that really underscores the importance of active partnerships. It underscores the importance that if there's learning to be done across these sets of activities, that doesn't mean we need to do everything, but it means that we need to be actively engaged in dialogue with our partners who might be doing those things for comparative advantage reasons, so that we're making sure we're exploiting all the possible learning we can across activities to advance the collective objectives we share in this AR4D space.
And your point, Josh, actually raises a broader question and concern that some people might have about comparative advantage as applied to CGIAR. People will rightly recognize that there is considerable synergy in working on, for example, improving soils while also working on better genetic material in plants and improved water management. We can think of these as three tasks. And one can think about what's the comparative advantage in doing any one of the three of them separately. But if there's some synergy among them, to use the jargon of economics, if there's economy of scope in combining different activities, that will change the relative efficiency. But one of the central lessons of economics over the last 20 or so years has been that economies of scope and economies of scale, economies of scale being producing a greater volume of things, that unit costs of production fall as one produces more, economies of scope being unit costs of production fall as one produces a greater variety. But one of the central lessons of economics over the last 20 to 30 years has been that economies of scale and scope are commonly external to an organization. They're about creating an ecosystem in which each organization is made better by others doing related things, rather than those economies of scope and scale being internal to an organization. So put differently, the big gains that come from the synergies or the scale seem to come mainly from being part of an ecosystem in which there's frequent interaction among the different organizations, not from one organization becoming a behemoth that does it all. That is a central thing that we need to keep in mind in comparative advantage analysis for CGIAR, that we need to be looking for these opportunity costs for the relative efficiencies of CGIAR accomplishing different goals, taking into account these synergies, but recognizing that sometimes those economies of scale or economies of scope are best achieved in partnership rather than concentration of tasks within just CGIAR.